Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow patriots. This is Matt Shea, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State. And I got to tell you something, on top of living in Liberty State, we live in the American readout. I want to spend a little bit of time on the American readout idea, concept. It's actually more, it's more of just a place, but I want to spend a little bit of time on what happened last night here in the American readout, why it is so, at least in my opinion, absolutely fantastic, and also why in this day and age, this is the kind of courage we need to see. This is what it means to be Americans again. I just think it's so critical. So, but first, this show is in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story in the news, behind the news. And if you don't know who Stan Monteith is, get an opportunity and look him up. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action, and about the difference being we preach the gospel of the kingdom, not just the gospel of salvation. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." Just, I love that. I love that. I love that idea. So if, wherever you're at right now, let's take a moment. Let's pray. And if you're driving, pull over if you have the opportunity. Father God, we just thank you so much for the place that you have put us in the world. We thank you, Father, for your protection. We thank you, Father, that the forces of evil were turned back last night. Father, we thank you that you are pouring out your Holy Spirit right now, that revival is here, Lord, and just make our hearts ready and willing and cleanse us of everything so we are able to accept what you are doing right now, how you're moving, Lord. And Lord, I just ask right now, too, that you would bless everybody listening to the show right now, that you would give them your courage and your motivations. And Lord, that they would be drawn to a close, intimate, personal relationship with you, and they would just be in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so what happened last night? Well, I'm glad you asked. Okay, now we know that these riots are going on all over the country. I'm going to take a few moments, and I want to tell you who's doing this. Okay, now I've done this on a couple shows before. I've been warning about this for years, but it's important that we're all on the same sheet of music, and it's important that we understand what is happening in the world. And why? What are the forces behind it? Now, I'm going to paint a picture for you. Now, after the fall of the Soviet Union, many people thought communism was dead. They were very gravely mistaken. Many people thought that the communist Chinese had adopted policies that were more towards the free market, and therefore they were friends and we should do business with them, and they were gravely mistaken. Understand that the moment Trump started to push back against China, and he's done several things over the last couple of weeks, but two main things, and he's continuing to do this. Number one, he started to divest U.S. money from Chinese companies. Number two, he banned students coming into the United States from China with close ties to the Chinese military, and by implication, the intelligence apparatus too, by the way. Okay, so he was pushing back, but a lot of people don't understand that he was already pushing back in some of the things that he was doing in bringing manufacturing back to the United States, because the Chinese, without manufacturing, and without that money, cannot build their war machine that they want to build. And if you have not read General Qi, and some people say it's he, it's spelled Qi, General Qi Huatian's secret speech, you can look it up online. And also, unrestricted warfare by two Chinese colonels. You take those two documents together, and they were very clear that the number one target of China was the United States of America. Now, is there fourth generation warfare happening in the United States right now from China? Yes, there is. The Chinese are doing information warfare. They're doing political warfare. They're doing cyber warfare. And there's a bunch of other things. We just go down the list. But the fact of the matter is, they are treating us, the United States, and I'm talking about the Communist Chinese Party, not the people, the Communist Chinese Party, they're treating us as an enemy. Okay, so the next thing that I want to bring into this equation is, back in the 1970s, the communists infiltrated the United States, and particularly infiltrated some labor unions and some other things, and they did it in a strategic fashion so that if anything ever happened to the United States and they felt like the United States was weak, they could then begin pulling the trigger on some of these things to really hurt the U.S. in a time of crisis. One of those things was agricultural workers. And we've detailed some of that on the show. One of it was longshoremen. And one of them was when they began to buy up meat packing plants. Now, I know Trump is already aware of this. I know he's been briefed on this stuff. But the fact of the matter is that you have Marxist elements working in the United States of America to undermine this country, and particularly to go after Christians too later, which is one of their goals. Marx talked about how much he hated Christians and Jews, by the way. So the Chinese, are they putting money into the riots that are happening in America? We don't know that for sure. But the timing is very interesting. As soon as Trump starts fighting back against China, suddenly riots break out in the United States of America. Now, look at these things from a geostrategic perspective. Number two, I've been warning for 2 years that the Marxists, in the run-up to 2020, were going to start spreading violence in the United States of America. It was. A lot of people said that it'll never happen in the U.S. It's never happened before. It'll never happen here. And I said, read what they're writing. Listen to what they're saying. You had a Bernie Sanders campaign worker say they were going to burn American cities. And guess what's happening? You had organizations, and I want to go through these because some of you still haven't heard of these organizations and you need to. First of all, Antifa, they're carrying crosshatch flags in some of these protests, which are battle flags. They believe they're at war. They crosshatch on a flag that's a battle flag. They believe they're at war. I also want to highlight the fact that this is a coordinated violent and nonviolent action. If you take a look at the Maoist insurgency model, it's 5 points. One of them is political warfare, and another one is violent action. And they have coordinated violent and nonviolent action. So you'll have people that'll show up and say, oh, they're just peaceful, they're peaceful. And then all of a sudden, the rowdy elements show up, and that's who caused it. But you ever notice this? The rowdy elements always start exactly when the other guys leave. It's almost like it was scheduled or planned. And to highlight this too, this is a vast network. And so when Trump says he's going to take down the Marxist network in the United States of America, it's a vast network. They have media proxies, as we've detailed on this show before, where you had this study that linked a reporter from the Huffington Post, Jason Wilson of The Guardian, who was the one that smeared yours truly, Matthew Hayden of the Southern Poverty Law Center, Christopher Mathias of the Huffington Post. Like I said, these guys did this. But okay, so the media, most people are like, okay, yeah, they're covering for them in a lot of ways. And there's plenty of examples. CNN failing to condemn this attempted firebombing of a federal facility over in Western Washington. AOC failing to condemn it. So here's my question. Everybody should be writing the governor right now, will you condemn Antifa? Everybody should be writing the Speaker of the House right now, will you condemn Antifa? Everybody should be writing the Senate Majority Leader right now, will you condemn Antifa? Now, it's interesting that one of the members of the Senate had as their campaign manager somebody in leadership in North Seattle Antifa. Now, that never made the news, did it? It didn't also make the news that I introduced a bill, is actually a House resolution, and you can, again, go look this up online. I introduced a House resolution calling for the investigation of Antifa and its ties to international terrorist organizations, okay? Interestingly enough, the Democrats refused to give that bill a hearing. So you got to ask yourself the question, why? Why did they refuse to give that bill a hearing? Interestingly enough, mainstream Republicans refused to back the bill. Now, a lot of conservatives did back it. They didn't sign on to it, but they backed it. And that's okay. But the question is now, if we go into special session, are they going to back House Joint Memorial 4018? Mandating investigations into the John Brown Gun Club, Redneck Revolt, Antifa, and the Socialist Rifle Association. Now, everybody's talking about Antifa today, but I want to talk about these other groups too, because, you know, I have the pictures of them unfurling the communist flag. This is very likely Antifa, you know, on the Capitol steps. I have them with screenshots of essentially promoting violence. And oh, by the way, Facebook and Twitter leave these things up. One of them was left up for over 2 years. And it was from Antifa, Idaho. And it was one of the most offensive. It shows a Hispanic lady with a black eye. And it says this, okay? I want you to listen to this. Hashtag punch a Nazi. Remember, kids, there is no genders, and my fists don't know gender. It's not domestic violence if she voted for Trump. This is the caption. If you know a Nazi, grab a brick and resist. Okay, this was posted on February 4th, 2018 by Antifa Idaho, and I screen grabbed it almost two years later. It was actually a year and a half later, these guys didn't take this down. Redneck Revolt published online, and this is very, pay attention to this, and if you get a chance, read it. It's called The Mini Manual of the Urban Guerrilla by Carlos Marighella. He was a Brazilian communist. He was implicated in the kidnapping in 1969 of a U.S. ambassador, Charles Burke. He's the founder of ALN, and he was shot by police later in that year in 1969. Now, he wrote this Mini Manual of the Urban Guerrilla, and so if you want to know where they're getting their tactics from, they're getting it from this mini manual. But again, going back to one other question, and I glossed over it a little bit. Who is funding this? These guys are wearing military-grade earpieces, and they're using sophisticated radios, expensive SLR cameras. They're wearing, and it's interesting, it's all uniform, too. They're all the same equipment. They're using what I would consider the civilian version of a military-type gas mask. They're putting out instructions online that say specifically what to do as an antidote for tear gas and all these other things. So they know that they're going to be causing violence, and they're putting out instructions in regards to that. So if you want to know where it came from, well, Redneck Revolt published this mini manual of the Urban Guerrilla online. Then you get this situation where you got this guy trying to firebomb a federal facility over in Western Washington, and sure enough, he's wearing a JBGC, John Brown Gun Club hat. And then in his manifesto, he says he is Antifa. These are all connected. Now, some of these are paid. but they're clearly funded, very well funded. Now, and if you don't think there's coordination, and this brings up another question. These groups yesterday targeted gun shops in Western Washington and over here. So they're doing strategic targeting in vastly disparate areas. That proves coordination. The question is, who's doing it? And I want to tell you a little bit about what happened last night. And then I want to bring this back locally quickly before we bring on our guest. Last night, these nondescript Mercedes vans started flowing into Idaho. And these Antifa folks start, what appeared to be very clearly, start to unload at Winco in Idaho. And patriots from around the area descended on Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Here's the interesting part. They were armed. They were peaceful. And guess what happened in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho last night? Nothing. Over 1,000 patriots descending on the center of the city there, and nothing happened because Antifa went home. It tucked tail and ran. Because they knew these guys were going to stand up against this and say, no, we're going to protect these businesses down here. You don't get to riot and try to destroy the city. So tonight, it appears that there are some of these elements that are going up to Sandpoint, Idaho. And if you're up in the Sandpoint, Idaho area, apparently there are some elements up there right now, but it appears to be kind of their, kind of the smaller group that they have dispatched up there. Looks like they're younger in age too. Now here's the other interesting thing. Last night in New York, explosives were used to blow up a number of ATMs. There are reports around the country that these guys were dropping pallets of brick. Again, who's paying for that, and how was that all coordinated in multiple cities around the United States of America? Also, we're getting reports now, I'm bringing this back home, and the reason I bring that up is if you start to see pallets of brick, report it. Contact me. We'll make sure that that gets reported to the proper channels and also it gets taken care of. Okay? There are reports that tomorrow night and Thursday, there may be protests again and over the weekend in Coeur d'Alene and Spokane. So, what does that tell us we need to do? First of all, the gun control debate is over. The reason we need AR-15s is all over the news over the last week. Okay? So gun control debate is just, it's over. Number two. These Marxists quite literally want to destroy the United States of America, and it's our time to be peaceful. It's our time to stand up, though, and defend our businesses. And, oh, by the way, all the governors allowing this to happen, including Jay Inslee, basically said the stay-at-home order is over, right? Because they're not really arresting all these people in the crowds, even though they have them on camera. Kind of hypocritical to try to enforce that now, it would seem like. Number three, need to understand that these elements, Socialist Rifle Association has a chapter in Spokane, Washington. Redneck Revolt had an organization up in North Idaho, which appears to have gone underground. Now, the Socialist Rifle Association chapter then expanded and said, oh, they're the Eastern Washington chapter. Well, they were originally in Spokane. We've got the screen captures to prove that. But here is the thing that to me is the most disturbing. There are elements. There are elements that try to feign being political that are coordinating with these violent elements. In fact, some of the members are the same. Now, I've talked before about the Peace Justice Action League of Spokane, how one of its members apparently started Indivisible Valley Progressives and some other groups. But here is the thing that's interesting. I have, from a source, the meeting minutes that occurred in November from the Indivisible Valley Progressives. Interestingly, this was on November 11th, 2019. And this is my kind of final point here with this. There were mainstream Republicans, some of whom are allies, very close allies, of Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich and Leonard Christian, who is running for state representative, that were here at this, that were here in Spokane Valley at this meeting. Here is what the minutes say from this meeting of the Indivisible Valley Progressives. Okay, now these are the folks linked to Fuse Washington, which is linked to these radical Marxist organizations. Indivisible is also known nationally to be linked through various different channels and sources, and you can check this out on Trevor Loudon's stuff, with some of these more violent elements. And it's important to understand that these folks, by coordinating, meeting with, cooperating with radical Marxist organizations, have effectively gone against the United States of America. Here is the meeting minutes quote, so you hear it. Quote, "There was a very lively discussion between VIP members and Chuck Hafner." Now, Chuck Hafner is a former Valley City Councilman who was essentially run out for his horrifically liberal views. And Diana Wilhite, who is a mainstream Republican, also a former city council member, but a mainstream Republican and one of the driving force between mainstream Republicans in Spokane Valley and in Spokane, and a key ally of Sheriff Knezovich. And this brings up a bunch of different questions, because when Trump said he's going to take down the network and those that are aiding and abetting Antifa, what is that investigation going to uncover? Quote, "Chuck and Dean Grafos served on the city council when Mike Jackson was fired in 2016, just before the council meeting was about to begin. Chuck and Dean did not cooperate or did not participate, excuse me, in meetings to remove Mr. Jackson, and felt he was illegally fired. Both resigned from the council shortly thereafter in protest. Diana Wilhite served on the city council since the city's incorporation." And I'm going to move down a little bit. "She had a number of insightful comments about the time she served and those she served with. She very strongly suggested that the only possible way to win against Matt Shea in the future is for a candidate to run as a Republican." So what they're saying is they want a moderate mainstream person to run against Matt Shea as a Republican, but they're still coordinating and cooperating with this Indivisible Valley Progressive group, which is associated with radical Marxists in America. And we've seen what's happened to our cities because of radical Marxists in the last few days. Currently, the number of Republican PCOs is stacked in favor of the Freedom Guys. Okay, we need to get busy, all right? End quote. So, earlier, it was interesting to note that Diana Wilhite and somebody called Beva Miles, who is in charge of the Republicans of Spokane County, very close cohorts. They worked together very, very closely. And it was Beva Miles who sent the email to the House Republican leader, essentially trying to scheme about what to do against myself and, by implication, other conservatives as well. So, folks, here it is in black and white from their meeting minutes. A lead Republican in the moderate Republican camp is coordinating directly with the Indivisible Valley progressives who are linked directly with radical Marxists throughout this country. It's in our backyard, and I got to tell you something. These rhino Republicans have sold out America in a lot of respects. Because they didn't stand up, they didn't back my bill, for example, that would have mandated the investigation of Antifa. They didn't stand up when I was when I was talking on the House floor about these threats, talking even behind closed doors about these threats. Instead, they went after patriots, the same type of patriots who showed up last night in Coeur d'Alene and ensured a peaceful resolution as Antifa tucked tail and ran. Now, these meeting minutes are going to be posted online. It's important to understand that this is not all the information that is available, but it is very, very telling. Very telling that these people have been coordinating and giving awards and doing rallies with organizations tied to radical Marxists. It's unbelievable. And if you read their Facebook posts and things, you will see all they want to do is wreck this country and replace it with socialism. Because socialism does wreck countries. In fact, that's all it ever really has done historically. So I wanted to break that news today. In the midst of all of this that's going on, there are Republicans, unfortunately, who are tied directly to these organizations. And I think it's time that they're held to account for that. And that also that we, as patriots, be a lot more observant about who may claim to be for freedom and liberty, but who is actually cavorting with those that seek America's destruction. And that is the briefing today. I want to thank everybody for praying for Victoria and myself. As many of you already know, I was instated as the pastor, preaching pastor of Covenant Church in Spokane. And it's important that we don't lose sight of the fact that our hope is in Jesus Christ. It is not in man. And that we all should really reevaluate where our walk is with the Lord, especially in these trying times. If you get a chance, you can visit Patriot Radio on Facebook / Patriot Radio US. Also, you can find us on iTunes and Podbean. And there's a replay on the whole ACN network at 9 o'clock every evening, Tuesday and Thursday when we're on. All right, my guest today is Professor Michael Rechtenwald. He is an author, and he's the author of 10 books, actually, but Beyond Woke, which is his most recent book, and The Google Archipelago, The Digital Gulag and the Simulation of Freedom, Springtime for Snowflakes, which is one of my favorite titles. He quite literally was a professor of liberal studies and global liberal studies at New York University from 2008 to 2019, where he taught writing and literature. He also taught at Duke University, North Carolina, Central University, and Carnegie Mellon University. So he is an expert, an expert's expert, actually. Yes, Joe.
I'm getting voicemail.
All right. Well, hopefully we can get Michael on because I want to talk about the Google Archipelago. And it's really important that we get there. So I am going to go back, if that's the case, and I am going to talk about these Marxist organizations. And we are going to talk, too, about some resources that you can use to look these organizations up yourself. I think that's a very important thing. Don't just take somebody's word for it. Go look it up online. Check out the primary sources for yourself. So we were talking about the fact that this was coordinated. So who's funding this? Well, the Open Society Foundation has funded a lot of these different organizations and has been tied by many, many different people directly to some of the more edgy organizations, including Antifa. And Open Societies is a foundation everybody knows. It is funded by George Soros. So, Indivisible Progressives. What is that? Well, it's a political arm. It's a political arm of these radical Marxists. And you'll see articles. I mean, you can go through online and find some of these things, but for example, the Political Insider on September 20th, 2017 had an article, quote, report, Hillary Clinton gave $8,000 to fund Antifa groups. Then if you go a little bit deeper, Indivisible with George Soros ties targets Republicans. And Indivisible, and this is, you can check this out on the Daily Signal, February 10th, 2017. They were responsible for organizing a lot of these anti-Trump so-called protests. Then you have certain folks who try to say Indivisible is not Antifa, right? But if you look and you go through some of this stuff and see who's talking to whom, they seem to miss the fact that there's similar people in some of these organizations. One of the other things that's interesting too is you have this attempt by the media and several mainstream publications to try to say that Antifa is just a loose collection of local or regional groups and individuals, and they're not that big a deal. Well, again, this idea that they're loosely knit and yet you see coordinated targeting. You see expensive military-grade equipment being used by them and being essentially in uniform across some of these guys. You see some of them walking down these streets as if they were trained to do it, just walking down and breaking windows one by one by one, as if they were trained to do it, and then not ever going in the store, but they're enabling a lot of people to do so. Now, Indivisible has a strategy. It's been out for a long time. The New American, specifically Bill Jasper, talked about this back in 2018. And it was a new manual. It was called Indivisible on Offense, New Indivisible Strategy. Okay. And the strategy, the idea, was to listen to this. Obstruct, disrupt, sabotage, delay, defame, accuse, investigate, and agitate. I'm going to do this again, okay? And this is November 17th, 2018 article in New American. Obstruct, disrupt, sabotage, delay, defame, accuse, investigate, agitate. Now, does that actually sound like what Antifa is doing? Yeah, this is Indivisible. But doesn't that sound like what they're doing? And by the way, They said that this was their strategy over the next 2 years, and this was in 2018. Okay. There's also a couple other ones that I want to highlight too. And this is an important thing. So you had this guy wearing the John Brown Gun Club hat who was saying he was Antifa. So you had people going across some of these very different groups, but really sharing similar views. And the left is trying to say that, no, these are different groups. These people have their own individual ideas, and we need to treat it that way. And yet, we continue to see the same names coming up, but in different groups. So if it's the same people, then is that coordinated action? And then it's not just loosely knit. That actually implies centralized leadership of some kind. So let's talk about Indivisible a little bit more in depth. Again, you can go to the New American. This is Bill Jasper. Let's see, November 21st, 2018. There are demonstrable ties between Indivisible and the Communist Party USA. So, yes, and this is from the article, yes, the Indivisible folks and their comrades who are screaming loudest about Trump-Russia collusion are totally in sync with the Communist Party USA communists who served as the main agents of Soviet Russia for the better part of a century. And this is documented fact, Communist Party USA, and its ties to the former Soviet Union. To detail that and the primary sources on that, you can go check out The Sword and the Shield, which is the premier work on the Matroikan Archive, the largest archive to ever come out of Russia, and also the Venona Transcripts. There's a book on that called The Haunted Wood and several others, where it details these clear ties between the Communist Party USA and the actual Soviet Russians. That's where the real Russian collusion was. But here's the interesting part about this too. In fact, according to the Communist Party USA, its Communist Party members are also activist members of, guess what? Indivisible. So according to the CPUSA's own admission, they are also having members in Indivisible. Okay, that's interesting. And the same is true, this is from the article again, quote, the same is true for many of the other militantly anti-Trump legions that form the link arm, or that link arms formally with Indivisible, such as, quote, MoveOn.org, Working Families Party, Swing Left, Make the Road, Black Lives Matter, Answer and More. Now, I want to read something from 2 years ago that might be kind of interesting to you. This is a quote from a leader in the Communist Party USA. Quote, most CPUSA members are involved in their communities in a range of labor, social justice, environmental, and get this, wait for it, peace organizations, Peace, Justice, Action, Leave, Spokane, maybe? I don't know. I want to talk about, too, that history informs us of what these groups are going to do. So Vladimir Lenin in 1922 wrote about the necessity of the communist vanguard aligning with non-communists. Here's what he said, quote, I think that this alliance of communists and non-communists is absolutely essential. A vanguard performs its task as a vanguard only when it is able to avoid being isolated from the mass of people it leads. Okay. Only when it is able to avoid being isolated from the mass of people it leads and is able really to lead the whole mass forward. Without an alliance with non-communists in the most diverse spheres of activity, there can be no question of any successful communist construction. So, Indivisible Progressives aligning themselves with mainstream Republicans in Spokane Valley is part of a communist plan that goes back, actually before Vladimir Lenin, but which was really implemented by Vladimir Lenin. And he talked about that again in his speech in 1922. Speech is entitled On the Significance of Militant Materialism. Now, a second part of this, militant materialism. Militant materialism, because that always accompanies the radical Marxists, is this militant violence in order to create chaos in a country so that then they can ride in and say, oh, we need more socialism as a solution. All right, let's talk a little bit too about some specifics here. I'm going to bring this back to Redneck Revolt, which we were talking about earlier. So Redneck Revolt, on its page, okay, in what they believe, right, says this: we believe in the right of militant resistance. We believe in the right, or the need, excuse me, for revolution. Quote, there will have to be a complete restructuring of society, end quote. So who said that? Where did those words come from? Well, it's really important. They came from Vladimir Ilyich Lenin. So they're, again, following the same plans, the same doctrine. They have been for years. It's been exposed for years, but now people are saying, you know, we are paying attention to this. I want to talk briefly about a couple of things, and I want to bring up a little bit of a surprise, which should be pretty funny. I found it a little humorous. But Antifa has been investigated before for ties to international terrorism and drug cartels. All right. If you go to, there's a couple of articles on this. If you go to the Daily Caller, you can find an article. This was back in 2000, I believe, in 19, where it talked about the FBI investigating Antifa for plotting to buy guns from a cartel for, quote, armed rebellion in the United States, end quote. Now, okay, let's talk about this a little bit. First of all, I want to talk about the timing of this, okay? This was April 29th, 2019, that this became a story. So they've been planning before this. The FBI is investigating anti-fascist activists for an alleged plot to buy guns from a Mexican cartel in order to stage an armed rebellion at the southern border, according to an unclassified document obtained by the Chicago Tribune. In 2017, on July 11th, so this is going back 2 years before that, the FBI was delivered a report, and this was on, again, July 11th, 2017, where this field report by the FBI, they had followed a group of American Marxists to Germany, where they met with their counterpart there, Anti-Fascist Action Germany. Now, it's very interesting that the 1932 Communist Party symbol was Anti-Fascist Action, and it had the two flags, and Antifa's symbol is very similar today. There's just a little bit change of colors. Quote, and this is from Clarion Project, quote, evidence gathered from a variety of intelligence sources showed the Americans took part in the violence there. There's also evidence of meetings between these individuals. Now, these are individuals from Antifa in Oakland, California, okay? individuals and associates of ISIS making some sort of common cause with Americans who are determined to commit violence against the United States makes them potentially very useful to radical Islam. Again, okay, this is an actual FBI field report. How on earth were they not investigated? How on earth was the money trail not followed? I mean, this brings into question a lot from the deep state. A lot. Here's another interesting tie. So everybody remembers the Dayton, Ohio shooter. He had extreme left-wing views, according to Breitbart, and this is a Breitbart article. But then it says this, okay? He had tweets supporting Antifa. Well, that's interesting. Here's the connection. So this Dayton shooter is on social media, on Twitter, talking with the Socialist Rifle Association. Andy Ngo broke this story. And the SRA is the one that said, I like taking guns away early, take the guns first, go through Dupras second. Interesting. And I want to bring this back to Spokane. So there was a Socialist Rifle Association chapter here in Spokane, Washington. They now call themselves the Eastern Washington chapter of the Socialist Rifle Association, trying to make themselves look bigger. Communists always do this. Okay, but here, they posted on June 15th of last year, they posted the Soviet national anthem. Again, clear tie to radical Marxists, clear tie to communists who want to take this country down. And the tie is they're supporting it, for goodness sakes. Now, this is where it gets kind of interesting, okay? So the Socialist Rifle Association all of a sudden went quiet a couple weeks ago. So again, I've got to ask some questions about, you know, is that planned? But here's the interesting thing, and this is screen captured, so if they try to take it down, we have it screen captured. I love that. And on their Facebook page, on this Eastern Washington Facebook page, you're not going to believe this. Guess whose articles they posted up there as kind of being a fellow traveler? Anybody want to guess? Sean Vestal of the Spokesman, or now aptly named Socialist Review. So that begs the question. Sean Vestal was listed on a donor list of the Peace Justice Action League of Spokane. His articles are now posted, and not just one either, on the Socialist Rifle Association page. Is he a sympathizer? I think that's a question that's a valid question that he should answer. Will he come out publicly and condemn Antifa? Will he come out publicly and condemn the Socialist Rifle Association? Will he come out publicly and condemn Redneck Revolt and the John Brown Gun Club? These are questions all of us need to start asking, not just of elected officials, but some of these sympathizers as well. I have seen quite a few things in my life, but seeing this, you know, I've seen them overseas, but seeing it here in America, seeing them here in America, seeing the targeting of law enforcement by these Marxist groups, which is what these guys do. Marxist and Islamist groups always target law enforcement. They did it in Iraq. They're trying to do it here. And the fact of the matter is, most law enforcement don't even realize these groups exist, let alone that they exist in their communities. But one thing I do want to leave you with in regards to this is a lot of people underestimate these Marxist organizations. They think that, you know, it's just a bunch of soy drinking, skinny jeans wearing, video game playing in your grandma's basement kids. Folks, these are trained agitators who are sold out to their cause, which is the destruction of the United States of America and the replacement with something horrific. And you can just look it up on DuckDuckGo or on privacy.sh. Look up the recent attacks on the U.S. Constitution, that we need to burn the Constitution, that Financial Times had an editorial literally saying the Constitution of the United States needs to be rewritten by a Loya Yurga or a Afghanistan tribal council. In other words, not our elected representatives, but something, I guess, they choose. I don't know. This stuff's real. It's here. There's no more denying it. There's no more saying, oh, you're blowing things out of proportion when we have a riot in downtown Spokane. And the fact that Antifa was stopped and turned tail and ran last night in Coeur d'Alene. The question is, Christians and patriots, is what are we going to do? Standing up peacefully, defending our businesses? Absolutely, we should do that every time. Absolutely. Calling to account those that have allowed these Marxist cells to be planted here in Spokane County and in North Idaho. We need to hold folks accountable for that. Asking questions of leaders. Will you condemn Antifa? Will you condemn the John Brown Gun Club? Will you condemn the Socialist Rifle Association and Redneck Revolt? Reading some of their tactics, like in the mini manual for the Urban Guerrilla, and then recognizing what it looks like on the street so it can be reported to law enforcement. Because the Marxists are the real threat we face. All this stuff out there, it's just ridiculous about that they're trying to blame it on white supremacy or something. It's asinine. And people are seeing through that now. What we need to do, though, is we need to continue to educate folks, because now their ears are open. Their ears are open to the truth. We need to support our president in dismantling these Marxist networks. Those that have been cooperating with radical Marxist organizations should be kicked immediately out of the Republican Party. Immediately. The Republican leadership in Spokane County should kick out people that have been coordinating with radical Marxists immediately. And if you're a precinct committee officer listening to this, you should know that that's exactly what needs to happen. And then lastly, but most importantly, we are in a valley of decision this year. These riots, from what I am hearing, are likely to escalate and continue for the next couple of weeks. And as Christians, we know that God is in control. As Christians, we know God is our protector. And for those of you that are listening that maybe aren't Christians, I would just ask you, just think about what it would be like in life if you had a protector like Jesus Christ, if you had somebody watching over your every step and helping you in every possible way. And I would just admonish all of us, we need to repent, we need to be in his presence, we need to draw close to him. And we also need to stand on the line for freedom and for liberty, because this country is worth fighting for. I love this country. I love this area. I fought in two wars My father fought in a war. Relatives of yours have fought in wars. You may have fought in a war. Not to come back home and let radical Marxists try to burn this country to the ground, try to burn the Constitution to the ground. It's worth fighting for. But we need to know that some of the people out there who have been trying to hold themselves out as friends, as champions, may not actually be that if they're cooperating with the folks that want to burn the country down and want to burn the Constitution to the ground. And if you want to know why they attacked me last year, it was because I began exposing this. So obviously, they've been planning this for a while. So that means we as Americans need to be just as deliberate to reclaim liberty and freedom, to stop these radical Marxists, these criminals, from continuing what they're doing, to protect our friends and our families' homes and their businesses, to protect our churches. And to protect our way of life so that we can fulfill the mission the founding fathers believed that we were supposed to do, and that was to expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ. To be that light on a hill that sent more missionaries and more money to spread the gospel throughout the whole world and to help people and to love people. That's what we're defending right now. That is what we're defending. And I hope that if you've been sitting on the sidelines, that this motivates you now to get involved. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you. We are the greatest generation. We are winning, and we will win.